Everybody ready?
We're going to take our tithes and give one.
Does my government do this a lot of that?
Greetings, everybody. This is coming from Cornwall Pentecostal Church on live streaming. And we're glad to have you join with us on live streaming as we join together here in worship in the church. And let's just open in a word of prayer as we begin the service this morning. Father, we thank you so much that we can gather together, whether it's through the media, the social media on Facebook, or here in the church. I thank you, Lord God, that you are with us. Lord, these are times that are certainly trying of our faith. This is a time that we need to feed our faith and not our fears. And we thank you, Lord, that we acknowledge you, Lord, as God over all. Even though the world looks at times like it's out of control, we know that nothing is surely out of your control. You are looking after everything, and you do everything perfectly. So we praise you for this day as we gather together. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, your life needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so I want to sing this song, My Life is in You, Lord. You got to move by it.
My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord. It's in you, I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength, with all of my life, with all of my strength.
Thank you. Since it's live. If anybody's getting this, text Betty or myself. I've got my cell phone right beside me. Hopefully it's going out. This is a new thing for us, and I pray that we're doing everything properly on there. It says it's live on my tablet, so I have to take it at its word that we are live. Are you live? We're live. You know, I keep thinking that through these times that we're living in, that Jesus is coming back. So I'm believing that. What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. It's good. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Your love surround me. Bring me near and draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the Spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found. I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. And hold me close, let your love surround. Hallelujah. Lord, renew my mind.
so hold me close. Let your love surround me and bring me near and draw me to your side.
Trying times. They are trying us. The enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we will not be devoured. Amen. We're living in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only place to live. In perilous times that we live, you've got to stay close to Jesus. You've got to stay close to him. Amen. So we encourage you to do that. I don't know, Serge, do you want to do one of the plates here?
Yeah.
Just to let you know, we're going to take a plate around. Now, Serge, if you would hold on to the plate, they're all disinfected.
Yeah.
But we don't want people to pass the plate along. So he's going to take the plate to people around the church. We're just doing an offering at this time in church. Forgive me up there, I've never been on TV before. Anyway, just to remind you that people here are tithing at the church, and I want to remind you that there are various ways to bring in your funds, your tithes. You can give at a church attendance like we are this morning. You can give through mail to the church. Just address it to 208 2nd Street East in Cornwall, and you can look up the postal code on the line. You can do that. Or if you're up for a nice fresh walk, we have the mail slot at the front of the church, and you can drop in your tithes there. And you can also give electronically through e-transfer. Many of our people do that, and this is one of those times that it's good to set up your e-transfer to make sure. Now, they always say that pastors, you're always asking for money, you know, and that's kind of a condition we get, but we understand that we have a building, and we have upkeep, and we have electricity for the building. We've got gas for the building, all those things. If we went through this time, and who knows how long this coronavirus is going to be in our society, how long things will be the way they are. But hopefully, it won't be too long, but some people are predicting anywhere from 2 to 4 months. If that's the case, I want to make sure that we have a church building here after 4 months if we were to come back in. I also told the people when they're coming in this morning, we have to keep our social distancing, at least 6 feet from each other. We want to comply with all the regulations and rules of the government. So please do that. And when we come through, we have disinfected the church in many ways, and so we want to make sure that you're looked after. We will be every Sunday streaming the service on Facebook at 10 a.m. And who knows, I'm going to get proficient at this after a while. Anyway, it's just what we are doing. Betty and I would like to sing a song for you, if that's okay. Can we do that? Oh, you look much prettier than I do. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was a lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that is in love, then the ocean dry. There's the stars in the sky, and the sparrow can fly. If that is in love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. Feel like God is going to do some great things. You know, I believe that God is able to do anything at any time, anywhere. If you believe that the Sea of Galilee, which is such a storm, when Jesus said, "Peace, be still," if you believe that scripture, can you believe for in this coronavirus to be stopped dead in its tracks and to stop going around in our communities and keep each and every one of us safe in through it all. This morning, I would like to just draw our mind on scriptures. And I really believe that scriptures are what upholds us. Amen. And keeps us in these times of trouble. You know, I was out walking the dog this morning. Betty and I were out. I'm praying over this. God, why is this happening? Why is this happening to churches? That we can no longer function in the way that we should be functioning, that many of our people are not here. And as I was going along, you know how kids go out on the sidewalks and they take those big chunks of chalk and they write down on the sidewalks and everything else. In fact, it's not too far from your place. If you would go on the sidewalk and walk up towards the 401, you would find it on the sidewalk. But it says, walking along, and it's kind of like whoever put this on the sidewalk, I would suppose it was a child, because usually children are putting chalk marks on the sidewalk. But I'm coming along on the sidewalk and looking at something, and of course it's still a little bit dark. It's around 6 o'clock. The sun was coming up. Beautiful morning this morning, nice and fresh. And I'm walking along, got the dog, and all of a sudden I see something written, which is facing me. And it said, "Don't worry, be happy." I back up again, and I said, "Did I see that right?" And it said, "Don't worry, be happy." Then I noticed there was something around the other way for people who were walking up the sidewalk coming the other way. And then I walked about 10 feet down, and I looked as I came the other way towards that on the sidewalk, and it said, "Don't stop believing." And I said, "Wow, that's cool. You should love it, see it. It's on the sidewalk, not too far from your place." As I thought about that, that's exactly right. Don't worry. Be happy. That would be something that Mr. Schuller would have said many years ago, but it's kind of something that we should be involved in. And I just want to let you know that this is an unprecedented time that we are in. And I'm sure there's all kinds of things, people talking that, "Pastor, you should cancel the church service," and all these things. And I'm really in betwixt and between in all these things. I love my church. I love what goes on. And I feel that if we, as the rules and regulation of the government say to be under 50, that we are doing that. But I noticed that the other day, everybody know Denise March?
Yes.
Denise March is the wife of Pastor Roger March, who's in Prescott. And she posted on Wednesday a really neat thing about pastors. Of course, her husband is a pastor. And when I saw this, I said, "This is really good. I want to read this morning because I want you to understand my heart, both on Facebook out there and here for those in the church." And this is what Denise March said on Wednesday at 12:22 p.m. on Facebook. "Your pastor has never pastored a church through a pandemic before. When he opens, people are going to say, 'He should have stopped.' When he closes, people are going to say, 'He should have opened.' When he does not shake hands, people are going to say, 'He needs faith.' When he shakes hands, people are going to say, 'He's foolish.' He's going to make some difficult decisions to protect the flock, considering everything from youth, spiritual growth, your spiritual growth, to legal liabilities that you aren't even thinking about. Every pastor believes that they pastor the most amazing group of people." Amen. "Remember this, no one wants things to go well at church as much as your pastor. Your pastor needs your prayers and support right now." Thank you very much, Denise, for putting that online. That was really good. It's not easy in this time that we are in. And, you know, it's like every day of our lives we have a certain way that we take for granted. We come to church, we worship, we sing, we do all those things. And it's just kind of like in that routine and that I don't want to say a rut, but it's kind of like the way of life. We are Christians. This is what we do. And we go through all those things. And it's kind of like when you're plunged into this kind of a situation. Like, how do you handle that? It's kind of like, you know, swimming. Everybody knows what it's like to swim in the lakes and the rivers that we have. Here in Canada, we've got a lot of lakes and rivers. And you get out there and you know how to swim. You do the crawl. You do the side stroke. And you do all those things that you do out there in water. And it's so easy to swim in the water, isn't it? Now, a few years ago, Betty and I went to Israel. And they took us down to the Dead Sea. Now, all your training for swimming is thrown out the window when you come to the Dead Sea. You cannot swim in the Dead Sea. You get out there, and hopefully you can put your feet down, but when you get in there, your feet want to come up, and they bump over here, you're bobbing. And everybody's out there, of course, everybody's just in tears laughing because, man, this isn't normal. You know, you're out there in the salt water, and you can't swim. So that's all you can do to survive, and you make sure that you don't get any salt in your eyes. But, you know, it's kind of like that. We're living right now like we're out of the stream. We're out of the norm. We're out of all the things that we typically do on a Sunday morning and go through all those things. I love watching the things about what's happening in our world right now. I was watching the other day down in the States, they are deploying two of the hospital ships in the USA. One is going to be parked off of New York and one off of California too, in case the hospitals have any type of overload. And so they showed the two ships side by side. I love what the names of the boats were on those two ships: Comfort and Mercy. And as I looked at those two words on those ships, exactly, they're flowing all around us. They're outside of our country. Comfort and Mercy. Comfort and Mercy. God is, wants to do all those things in our life. So enjoy the comfort of Jesus right now and just rely upon His mercy at such a time. See, my prayer at this time is for Cornwall Pentecostal Church that we could be a ship floating with comfort and mercy, because there's people out there that don't know Jesus Christ, and they're wondering about comfort and they're wondering about mercy. And that's one of the reasons why I wonder if we should keep the church available to our community, that they can come and find peace in the time of their storm. Even though we go through all the regulations, we can stand 6 feet from a person still and say, you need Jesus.
Amen.
You need Jesus. You know, we can love on them from a distance. We can say something to them. And even when our hearing aids aren't working, we can still get across the Lord Jesus Christ and get that to them. You know, I want to give you this morning because I've been watching the news. I'm almost feeling like I told Betty, everything you turn on the news these days is coronavirus, COVID-19. That's all we're hearing about. And the more you listen to it, and Betty coughed. She coughed. No, somebody's got the sniffles. Or Betty touched my forehead. Do I have a fever? You know, we're going through all these syndromes right now. It's crazy. I just need to turn it off and get back to real life, you know, because it just... promoting. It's kind of like those commercials that come on TV and they list all the side effects of the things. And if you are thirsty all the time and you are this, all the, maybe I've got it. You know, you're kind of going through all those things when you hear this stuff. And it's terrible the more you hear it. I want to, this morning, I've been listening to the news and we hear people who are Facebooking into the news people and they're telling what it's like in the middle of the storm of having coronavirus. Other people are coming on and say, you know, I've been going 10 days now and I'm almost out, I'm feeling a lot better. And they put them on the news to show that people are making it through. And of course, it's positive and it's good for us to realize that we can make it through these things. And I want to this morning not give you a testimony of somebody who's in the storm of all those diseases and everything else. I want to tell you about the people on the other side of the storm, the ones about faith. Okay, I want to give a testimony this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me.
Amen.
Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. See, we bring glory to God. We as Christians bring glory to God. How do we do that? By calling upon the name of the Lord in our day of trouble. That's how we bring glory to Him. We don't run here, there, and everywhere else in our fear. We're calling upon God in the day of our trouble. We're calling upon Him in our distress and all the things that we're going through right now. See, the great part is God assures us He will deliver us. And He will deliver you. That's what the Word of God says. We must believe the Word of God. See, if we fail to call upon Him in our time of distress and our troubles, we deny the Lord the blessing and the access to our life to deliver us and give us blessing after blessing after blessing. So do not hesitate to call upon the name of the Lord when you're in times of trouble. Make sure, God, hear me in my distress. Hear me in my times that I'm going through, because He will deliver you.
Amen.
Now, sometimes we may think that we're okay. Everything's going okay until a point we get to. Then we realize that maybe we're in this over our heads. Maybe this is too severe for us. And maybe God allows things to get us to a place of getting to a place of calling upon Him.
Right.
You ever wonder if God is kind of pushing you to that place? Will you call upon me now? Will you call upon me now? And maybe that's where some of us are getting in our life, is maybe we need to start calling upon God right now. Here's the thing about pain. I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. And I don't like it. I don't like trouble. I don't like distress in life. And if God never allowed us to experience need in our life, I wonder if we would never call upon his name. If you never faced a shortfall in life, if you never faced a time of temptation or trouble and all those things, we might feel too self-sufficient in our troubles and be able to cope for those times and get through it on ourselves. But maybe, I often wonder through this time, that maybe God is trying to get somebody's attention through all this. I wonder if he's trying to get we who've turned so far away from God, we've disallowed prayer in our schools, we've taken God out of religious institutions. People are saying, I don't want to hear about God. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to hear about those things. Maybe God is trying to get us to call upon his name once again. Maybe he's trying to get our attention through all this to get back to where he is. Amen? Let's not allow God not to be glorified in our lives, but let's call upon him in the time of our trouble. Could you do with me, that with me today as we just call upon him? You know what? All I see on the news is doctors coming on there, and people are emailing in or calling in and have questions for doctors. And they're medical doctors because they're trying to help people through what they might face or some of the symptoms that they get and so forth. But they, on the news the other day, they had a psychiatrist. And I thought, well, that's different. How come they have a psychiatrist on the news station? Well, because of the emotional things that people are going through. The only reason why they're running on toilet paper and going after toilet paper is because there's something going on inside. There's something fearful inside of them. What happens if I run out of toilet paper? And that's a terrible place to be, I guess. But anyway, this psychiatrist was dealing with a lot of the issues of the mind and the heart and the soul and the spirit of what people are facing going through. They say that anxiety levels are going higher than logical reasoning. Did you hear that? Anxiety levels are going higher than logical reasoning. And it is a fear that is with us in the North American continent. And this fear is the fear of the unknown. The fear of the unknown. See, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus knew that when he said that, fear can paralyze us. Fear can stop us dead in our tracks from serving him. Fear can cause doubts. Is God real? How come he's not helping me? How come he's going? Fear can do all kinds of things. And we are going through, and I want to respond many times and through the Facebook and here at church to be able to respond effectively to the challenges of our life right now where we're plunged into in this coronavirus COVID-19. I was looking on Crosswalk the other day, and there's all kinds of things that are coming up and telling us how to cope. And somebody put on here from crosswalk.com, it says 10 ways Christians can exemplify faith and peace during COVID-19. And it was done by Joel Ryan. And he gives 10 things. Number one, stay informed and only spread truthful information. People are, in times of trouble, become gossips. Did you hear? Did you know? And we start all those kinds of phrases. So number one, stay informed and only spread truthful information. Number two, do not surrender to fear. Number three, practice personal hygiene. Anybody wash your hands before you came? Good, good. Keep them washed. Wash them more. Andy and I were at the bathroom all the time. We have to buy more soap, let alone toilet paper. We got to get more soap. Washing our hands. Choose compassion over personal convenience. Number five, don't buy what you don't need. Amen. We were in the supermarket the other day. We went in during seniors hour from 7 to 8 o'clock at Independent. Did you know that they're open between that time? Anyway, we were going down the toilet paper aisle, just kind of curiosity to see if there's any toilet paper still left on the shelves. And there was. And so we looked at each other. Maybe we should buy a package of toilet paper. So we went over. And there's a gentleman there, started putting two or three packages in his car. And one of the workers at Independent was down at the end of the aisle says, only one! Only one! I was glad I only had one in my car. So anyway, we make sure. Don't buy what you don't need. Number six, donate to shut down schools and contribute to employees out of work. That's good. Tell people who have to work, the police, nurses, doctors, people right now that are going through this time. But our country is going through a devastation, and it's only just beginning. Who knows what could happen? We need to be there as that rock, support, and encourage people around us. So do that. Number eight, be the church. Amen. I like that, what he said. Number eight, be the church. Number nine, unleash the power of prayer. Number 10, put your hope and trust in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning, I know that my words are going out of the airwaves of Facebook. I know that whenever I speak, my words can be interpreted wrongly. Hopefully they won't be, but as they're given out, I know what can happen. So that's what happens when you're a preacher. But I like the Word of God because you can't interpret the Word wrong.
Amen.
The Word is truth, and it will stand the test of time.
Amen.
One of the favorite portions of Betty that she has quoted many times is from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17. It says this, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make my walk on the high hill. Make me to walk on the high hills. Can you hear the dilemma of Habakkuk as he said this? Look, what's happening, but here's the way I am. This is what's happening. My eyes see this, but this is the spiritual side of me that I'm holding on to. And so I believe that as I look at that, you and I have a reason to rejoice. We've got Jesus Christ. I don't know how people out there in the world could ever handle something like this without the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have our salvation in him. We've got something to hold on to. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know, it's been said that worry is the advanced interest we pay on troubles that seldom come. Let me say that again. It's been said that worry is the advanced interest we pay on troubles that seldom come. We try to justify worry, of course. I believe it's okay to worry at this time. It's okay for me to worry because I'm in a difficult situation. In many ways, we are all. Some more ways than others. But we're all in the same situation. Paul, who was a man who just wanted the gospel to get out, who just wanted to see people come to Jesus Christ. He just wanted to make sure that in his lifetime he was able to share the good news. And I like some of the things he said. Philippians chapter 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is a man who is going through all kinds of things. Read it in 2 Corinthians sometimes, being stoned, shipwrecked, abused, mocked, laughed at, and all those things. And here when he wrote this in Philippians, he was incarcerated. He was in jail. He was going through that. Yet he was able to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amazing. You know, I don't think too many people in jails today say those kinds of things, but hopefully they would find Jesus Christ in it, even in our institutions. And by the way, when we think about rejoicing, even that's a command from God himself. And to put it another way is to not rejoice is to be disobedient to God. I believe that God wants us to rejoice in him at all times. Amen? Anyone can rejoice when things are going well, but we need to rejoice even now when things in our world are in an upheaval. We need to rejoice in the Lord God. God has not promised that we will live in a pain-free world, has he? We need to face the facts. We don't bury our head in the sand like an ostrich. We are facing the facts. And as I look at the Word of God, I know that the Word of God, I was just reading in James this morning, says our life is like a vapor. Here one moment, then it's gone. You know, this life, even the hairs upon our head or lack thereof of them, God knows all about our situations. We need to face the facts that We are losing loved ones in our lifetime. They are going to die. Hardships will come into our life. We have to understand that. But our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is firm. Amen. It's firm. It's fixed.
Yes.
John chapter 16, verse 33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." In other words, you will have coronaviruses. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world."
Amen.
John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John chapter 14, a little later on in the chapter, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Wow. Aren't those some scripture verses that we can hang on to in times of our trouble, to be able to rejoice? You know, studies have found that 85% of the things that we worry about never happen. 85%. This means that of all the things that we're worrying about right now, 85% of the things that we're worried about won't happen. But what about the other 15%? That's the one that really hurts. We must know that God will be with us in our 15%.
Amen.
God will be with us in our 85%.
Amen.
And God will be with us 100% of the time, every step of our life. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. That's the good news. We live in a land of dying. We live in a land of dying, but we're headed to a land of living.
Amen.
Amen. One day we're going to be in heaven one day, a land of living. Death will come, but we have the promise from Jesus that he's gone to prepare a place for us. He's coming again. He's going to take us to himself, and we're going to be with him forever, ever, ever. That's what he said in the very last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1. "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." Praise God.
Amen.
You know what? One preacher that I really enjoy is Perry Stone. And Perry Stone, if you go on YouTube sometime and search around on YouTube for Perry Stone and the vision he had of these very days that you and I are in, it's very interesting to listen to. Perry Stone said this: "We know that God will supply grace to match any circumstance. When a situation looks troublesome in the world, don't be surprised if you hear God's Spirit say, 'Don't stop, keep pressing ahead.' It's in a dark and difficult moments that we have work to do," says Perry Stone. My nephew was on Facebook the other day, and thank you, Craig, if you're listening to this today. But Craig posted Psalm 91, and as I read it, I went through it all. Psalm 91 is kind of like, you know, taking a nail and hitting it with a hammer. It's just hitting the spot right now where we are. Let me read you Psalm 91 for an encouragement this morning, and perhaps for those who are on Facebook and listening the first time, listen to these words from Psalm 91. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence." Amen. "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. with long life, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Yes, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Are you there today? Are you there today in the shelter of the Most High? Gray Glory, another TV evangelist lives in California, he said this, if you want to overcome fear and worry, then you need to have right thinking. In other words, think about what you're thinking about. Think about what you're thinking about. And it says over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Hallelujah. Why is our mind so important to put these kinds of conditions into our heart and soul that we should be thinking on these things? Because the mind controls us. It's the first thing that we have in our very thinking of everything. It's kind of like the command center. It's the brains of the network, and it's where everything happens in us. It's the nerve center. With our minds, we have this wonderful ability to reach back into the past. We can remember all the bad stuff that happened. And by the way, in a few weeks or months or whatever it is, we'll be looking back at this. We'll say, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. You brought us through. You kept your hand upon us. You were faithful. And we have memories from our past, but we also have the imaginations of our future. And so with our mind, we have to make sure that we're not worried about what happened in the past is going to happen again. As we look into the future and all of our imaginations take control, we want to make sure that our future is not filled with any fear there, but it's over there too that we're trusting in God. Amen? Imagine what the psalmist said in Psalm 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you. Hallelujah. So the next time you're feeling down or wonder how you ever get through the situation, quote the Bible verses. Get into the Word of God. Make it your strength. Make it your power. Make it your residual that you just hold on to those times and the storms that you go through. You know, I love researching all these things that are happening right now. And doctors are looking at where people are right now moving in fear. And those who without Jesus Christ are moving in fear. And it's sad if you see a Christian moving in fear. The one doctor said, there's actually a condition called broken heart syndrome. It's also known as octopus heart. Anybody ever heard that?
No.
Because it affects the shape of the heart. That's why it's called the octopus heart. You know, sudden bad news that comes our way, such as the death of a loved one or some other traumatic event, can cause fear, fright, anxiety. And when these take a hold of us and grip us in our life, the tips of our heart begins to enlarge immediately. They kind of like they start spreading out. That's why they call it the octopus heart. They start going out. And as they go out, it can take a hold of us, and immediately it can result in depression. It can start causing chest pain, it can give you heart failure, and even lead to death. So, is worry going to help us? Remember what Jesus said? Adding worry, can it add one cubit, or one moment, or one instance to our life? Is worry going to do anything beneficial in our life? So worry may actually shorten our lives. You know, it's interesting what goes on out there. There is some documentation about a number of billionaires who are trying to find the cure for aging. I'm looking forward to getting out of this place. I don't want to stay here for any longer to find a cure for aging. But, you know, people go to any extent to see if they can stay here for a little longer and enjoy the party time. I don't know what it is. But these billionaires, they've got the money to do it. They can do all the stuff and pay for it, I guess, something like Bloomberg. But anyway, one billionaire, he requested having a microchip connecting to his brain. He figured if somehow he could get this microchip into his brain and trigger off the spurts of when they're saying, I'm getting older. Oh, no, click it, you know, and kind of have that microchip always saying, you're youthful, whatever. I don't know how it goes. I don't think I'd want to have one of those in my brain. But anyway, that's what one billionaire is researching and wants to do. Other billionaires are having blood transfusions from healthy people between the ages of 16 and 25. They figure, well, if I'm 80 years old and I get blood transfusion from somebody between the ages of 16 and 25, the results could be good. It's amazing, you know, how what people are going through to kind of stay around planet Earth for a little longer. You know, God determines the date of our departure.
Amen.
God's looking after all those things, and my date is in His hands.
Amen.
And I'm very grateful to have my date in His hands. He's looking after my life. Someone wisely pointed out that life is not measured by its duration, but its donation. Life isn't measured by its donation, or it's by its duration, but by its donation. So what we're putting into this life. So don't worry. I'm trying to get this across to make sure that you and I are not worried in this life at all. Something else I saw on the internet was three things God wants us to practice more of Him in our lives. Number one, choose now how to respond in faith over fear. God says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't be discouraged. I am your God, says the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Second thing, take your worries to God in prayer. Take them to prayer. God tells us, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. And bless Him and bless Him and bless Him and praise Him through all those things like we read in Philippians chapter 4. Third thing is meditate on the promises of God. God, you're faithful. Every promise in the book is mine. Count the blessings, name them one by one, one by one. God, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good. Thank you, God, for the sidewalk this morning that I walked along, wondering about the service this morning, wondering if I would be able to do Facebook, wondering if everything would go good in the technology. Then all of a sudden I see on the sidewalk, don't worry, be happy. No, thank you, Jesus. You know, God just wants to bless us every step of our life, everywhere we go. He's a good God. He wants to look after us. And so I want to give you those things. And may I just close with this. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I was reading this one portion of scripture about a king by the name of Jehoshaphat. It was in the days of trouble when the enemies were starting to crowd in on Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was one of those kings that I guess you could say was a good king. I mean, a lot of kings, they went up and down in lives, but some of them were good, some were definitely bad. But let me just read you a portion of scripture from Jehoshaphat in closing today. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning of verse 1, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon, Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. Here's that fear starting to come in. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence for your name and in this temple and cry out to you in our affliction. And you will hear and say, and now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them. It did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of our possession, which you have given us to inherit it. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against the great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But I love this. This is what Jehoshaphat said. But our eyes are upon you.
Amen.
Our eyes are upon you. We can't do anything about this situation. But our eyes are upon you, God.
Amen.
We're looking to you.
Amen.
We're looking to you. It says in conclusion, now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to pray, and for those out there on Facebook, if you're watching, pray along with us. We are the church together, whether it's through the media or whether we're here in the sanctuary. We're going to pray together. We're going to believe. Let's do that. Father, we come before you today. We acknowledge you. Our eyes are upon you. Where else could we go? If we look at the world right now, it's in havoc. There's no solution out there. They're running to and fro. They hope that they can find a vaccine to keep themselves safe. They're going fast. They're pouring money into it. There's fears. There's failures. There's all kinds of things out there because their eyes are upon the situation. Their eyes are upon all those things. But God, our hope is in you. Our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon you. So we trust in you today, Lord. When the storm is getting stronger outside, when the gale becomes harder and the wind gusts become even stronger, Lord, we realize that no matter what happens, Lord, our eyes must be upon you. We will rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Our eyes will be formed upon you, Lord, and found upon you. Thank you, God, for every blessing that we've had in the past in you, Lord. And we're looking to you right now in the midst of all that's happening in our world and say, God, help us in the time of our trouble. Help us in the time of our trouble. And it says that we will glorify your name in the time of our trouble. So we are trusting in you. We are believing in you. And we thank you for your grace, your goodness, your love, your mercy, and how you will sustain us in this storm. We thank you, God. In the days ahead, Lord, whatever may we come, Lord, whatever the government regulations say, we will abide by them. But God, we're keeping our eyes upon you. Yes. We thank you. We trust in you. As we leave from this place today, Lord, we thank you for church. We thank you for the body of Christ. Bless each one. Heal sick bodies. Put people in a great place where they're just trusting in you, Lord. And I thank you for everyone in our body of believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you out there.